Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dr. After Dark. Keep those emails coming at drafterdark@gmail.com. Also, the voice messages at 818-253-1693. And check out drdrew.tv. Also, we do a live show there on the weekends where you can ask me any questions. It's actually a call-in thing. And at drdrew.com, we got more stuff there. Be sure to support the people that support our shows here. We try to select them very, very carefully. It is my distinct privilege to welcome to the program Nadav Iskowitz today. Mm. Nadav is shitting his pants because he has never been interviewed like this ever before.
Yeah, alone by Dr. Drew, who I grew up listening to.
And he was complaining that he felt like he had an imposter syndrome, that I was going to expose him, that this would be all against his will. Just let's set up some ground rules that nothing here will happen that is not with your consent.
Well, yeah, and also I have, say, on Final Cut. So
you can cut everything out of there. You go. Now you should feel really good about this. So this whole interview that I'm about to have, you're not going to hear, evidently.
Hopefully.
So so I feel privileged because you're an important part of this. You're a critical piece of this YMH enterprise, and I'm the first person to really interview in front of the audience.
Yeah, you know, it's being in the control room or in the control booth is a lot easier because you're behind a glass, you're behind some walls.
Yeah.
People can't hear you if you keep the mute button
and you
checked.
Determine when you cut to you, right? When we see you in there, is that your...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a team of three people in there.
I noticed you've been cutting to the control room a little bit more.
I mean, if we interact with you.
Right.
You know.
And is that you doing that or somebody else flipping that switch?
So Chris, the blonde kid that you saw, he's the one that's at the switch. But, you know, every now and then it's like, all right, get ready for a picture-in-picture and cut to control room and stuff like that.
It just
runs like a control
room. Well, as I've said before, the control room is what really creates the culture here because the comedians come in here and they just love you laughing at their stuff. So we thank you for that.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was going to become the laugh track of YMH.
And then you produce all this stuff and you're sort of the critical mastermind here. Mm. So let's find out who you are and what you're about,
Oh my God, I'm so scared.
How old are you, do you know?
I just turned 31 in September.
Okay. And where'd you grow up?
Born and raised in L.A., like Studio City, Burbank, North Hollywood area, right by Universal City.
Did you go to college?
I did. I went to UC Irvine for 4 years. Did not graduate because I knew I was going to be in film.
What'd you study?
Studio art.
Which is what?
It's like, I know how to make molds out of plaster and shit.
Nice.
Nothing I could really use.
Oof.
Yeah. A lot of really
stupid
stuff. Did
you hang out at the beach or anything, at least while you were at Irvine? Or?
I did live on the beach my last year there. I lived on the Balboa Peninsula. It was really dope. Befriended a bunch of glass blowers and like lived a beach bum life. It was pretty
That is awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Oh my God. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. It was.
And you're from Los Angeles, so this beach is not... It's not a far off, you know, idea for somebody who lives here. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty nice, but it took me like 3 years to, you know, I lived there for my last year. I'm like, oh, this was stupid. I should have lived here for the first three.
Yeah. Do you live on campus before that?
I lived in the dorms the first year, and then right off campus the first 2 years.
You immediately? And why the studio art if you knew you wanted to do production?
What was it? I think I tried to apply to film schools. Thing was, wasn't a big tryhard in high school.
Right.
So I got like B's and C's, maybe an A here and there.
Where'd you go to high school?
Milken Community High School, big Jewish school right up the hill. Mm-hmm. And
by the temple.
Yeah. Stephen S. Weiss.
Right.
Yeah, Michael Milken, I believe he was and still is a criminal?
No.
No?
I work with him. And
really?
The Prostate Cancer Foundation.
Oh my God, okay.
Yeah. No, he is a philanthropist.
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's got to get back. He did go away for a bit, right?
Yeah. And he was told that he had 6 months to live with prostate cancer 30 years ago and made it a commitment to try to figure out, you know, how we're going to improve care for prostate cancer. And he's had a massive impact.
Wow.
Yeah, massive.
Didn't know any of that.
And then he has the whole Milken Global Foundation, which is just having impact philanthropic all over the place. So
didn't know any of that. I just knew my parents wanted me to grow up Jewish.
Why is that?
I mean, my name is Nadav Itzkowitz, which is just as Jewish as you could get.
Pretty much.
My last name, the beginning starts with what most of them end with.
And you don't look Peruvian.
Yeah, I look quite Semitic. Yeah.
Of course Tom doesn't look Peruvian either, so.
Right. But yeah, they just wanted me to grow up Jewish, and, you know, my dad wanted all of us, I'm the youngest of four kids. They wanted all of us to grow up Jewish. I think all of us are either atheist or agnostic. So that's been a pretty fun
turn because of
events.
Too much exposure to that stuff?
I mean, yeah, like you grow, I mean, for me at least, like you grow up with Jewish stuff and you're just like, I'm good on any of this.
Too much.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm way too outwardly express that feeling where people, I mean, sometimes I would think that I look so Jewish that I could say anything anti-Semitic and it should be a joke. And I found out kind of late in life that that's not the case and that people just thought I was anti-Semitic for a while.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was pretty not. That was a real eye-opening experience.
Is funny.
Yeah. I had a real laugh about it.
Yeah.
But after that, like,
wow.
I need to make some fine-tuned adjustments.
And so what was it that made you push back to all the ritualism and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it was like we prayed every Thursday, like every high holiday, like you were going to go to synagogue and be bored for about an hour and then run laps with your friends while your parents
did
are
you learn all
Nicole
the
Nidre.
Prayers?
Oh, yeah, like Hebrew was my first language.
It was?
Yeah.
Growing up in Sherman Oaks, wherever you grew up, you don't think about that as...
Well, I mean, like, so both my parents are Israeli. They moved here in the 70s, and they were the ones from their family that moved. So all of my family is in Israel. So we would go back there every summer and all that.
And you'd stay.
Yeah, we'd be there all summer. And, you know, as you get older, that becomes less and less.
Well, that's kind of cool. You learn the language. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, like, my parents, that's the thing, though, is that, like, I thought I was fluent in Hebrew. And then I go talk to my cousins, and they're correcting every other word. And I'm like, oh, I guess I don't know Hebrew. And I go and talk to my parents. I'm like, have I been speaking Hebrew wrong this whole time? And they're like, yeah, but we thought it was cute, so we like never really corrected you. And so that completely fucked up my confidence in Hebrew. I'll count to five for you guys to count you into a show, but you know, when it comes to actually
speaking
Hebrew with someone.
You can read it and understand it, though.
Yeah.
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 Which is an accomplishment. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I was reading some Hebrew for the boys earlier today. Right, guys?
they don't like supporting you. So, and what are your other siblings doing?
My brother moved back to Israel. He's doing some sort of sales stuff over there.
And by the way, moving from Israel in the 70s is kind of an unusual move, wasn't it?
What was going on in the 70s in Israel?
They didn't like the whole...
Probably bad stuff.
They didn't like that whole Six-Day War thing.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
That's got him out?
That didn't get him out. I think my dad was getting into jewelry, and so he was chasing the jewelry dream over in America. I mean, I don't know too much of his story, which just shows how much I really care about my history.
He loves his parents, folks.
Boy, yeah.
Was there religious abuse? Like, was religious used like a mallet?
No.
No.
No. It wasn't like, hey, you need to do XYZ or, you know, he's going to do something to you. I think that's more of like a Christian Catholic thing, right?
A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah.
But there are people can become so hyper-religious that it's kind of overwhelming to the kids, you know?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. We had some like Orthodox kids go to our school and it was like, ugh.
And your parents like, why aren't you more like them?
Yeah. No, they never said that. My mom, the main thing that she's always told me is that I was the only one that's kept her on her toes, which I'm not 100% sure what that means, but I think it means I was difficult.
And what does the other two siblings do?
So the other two are my sisters. One of them works for corporate America, and the other one is, I think, a social worker.
Oh, interesting. You think? Yeah. Pretty close to your family still? Not so much.
I mean, you know, we talk, but just like about important like day-to-day stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Not really about what are you doing with your life.
Wow, how interesting.
Now, that's the gist of it. That's the gist of it. I know that my sister just got a job. She relocated to, I think, also social work.
Well, she has an MSW or an LCSW.
Oh. I don't know.
Don't sweat the big stuff.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what my sister's resume is.
So back to the Orthodox and the Hasidim that you were at school with.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting to me is my extended family is Jewish, and they lived in the Fairfax area.
Sorry to hear that.
You never saw Orthodoxy on the streets
Oh.
in the 60s and 70s.
Now you can't walk out there without them asking to be like a tenth for a minion and just like, hey, we need another tenth male Jew. Can you come pray
and
with
so
us?
So what is that? Why all of a sudden did it suddenly transform? There's kind of a funny thing.
Yeah, I mean, Orthodox Jews just kind of have a way of muscling their way into places.
Was there an immigration or was there a conversion? It's so stunning to me now when I drive through that area and everyone with the cakes on their heads and the...
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like Israeli Orthodox, you know? It seems like Chabadniks, where it seems like Americanized Orthodox people.
Okay.
I don't know what the difference is between that.
So is it that something where the parents all of a sudden decided, hey, we're going to have to really get serious here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not 100% sure.
Doesn't that seem funny to you that it was like not essentially non-existent in Southern California?
I mean,
40 years ago.
I mean that. I mean, I'm 31 years old, so I don't know that part of.
But I understand that. I understand that. But it's just like it's curious. I just wonder what went on.
Yeah, you know, just like you know, stuff's banging off in L.A. and the Jews are just trying to get on it.
And what's your romantic life been like?
Oh, yeah, Christina asked you to ask.
Yes, that. Yes, she did.
I mean, it's been pretty...
Well, actually, she asked me to ask you what you do on the weekends. So what do you do on the weekends?
I mean, not a lot. Most of it is relaxing from, like, having, like, a busy week.
How do you like working here?
I mean, I love it. You know, it's a dream come true.
What about the couple you work for?
Oh, Tom and Christina?
Jesus.
Boy.
Busted really, balls all the
they
time.
They really try and pry into stuff. I mean, like, there was a minute there where I was playing the wrong intro to the show for a while. And I almost got fired.
Tell me about that.
I mean, you know, just like, I thought we were going in a new direction for the intro. And so I just kind of took liberty and did some stuff. And
took liberty.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Tom didn't like that.
No.
Tom got this close to getting fired.
Really?
Actually, no. A lot of people thought it was true, but it was actually a bit. We're both just really great actors.
Okay, good. Because that does not sound like Tom.
No, yeah.
Tom he really has great instincts and he tries to, I don't want to say control things, but he tries to orchestrate things in such a way that he enhances the experience for everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would get mad at anybody that had a different opinion or anything.
No. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him get too mad, but I do not feel good for anyone that would be in those crosses.
Oh, nice.
I mean, just seeing him get upset at someone over a Starbucks order, it's like, doesn't seem like a bit when he's showing how upset he is. Like, he's really taking some breaths in. It's just like, oh, he really hates that this coffee was fucked up.
Does he ever get mad at Bert?
No, I've never seen it.
Really?
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, they're best friends, you know?
Still, though, it'd be easy to get mad at Bert for some of his...
Is it? He's just so fun. I mean, like, this is, since Two Bears, One Cave, is kind of the first time that I've been able to actually, like, work around him. He's such a delight.
He is a delight.
He's the best.
That's true.
But, like, yeah, I've been working with Tom Cursino for the last 4 years, and it's been the most fun.
How did you get this job?
So I started in post-production. So
with these guys?
No. Like, as a career. Like, I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Television?
I wanted to be an editor in film or television. Like, in terms of goals, I didn't really have any. Like, I tried to keep it vague. So
where did you learn to do post?
Internships. Because I sure as fuck wasn't learning it for my studio art degree at UC Irvine. Like, I was taking film classes and I was doing stuff that my teachers didn't know how to do in the programs. I was like, okay, I've kind of outgrown this.
Yeah.
So I just kind of really focused on internships and started learning through that. And I knew I wanted to get in post-production because everything else of production sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in production, it's like 12-hour construction work days. It sucks.
Yeah.
Writing, not great with words. And then post-production is like, oh, cool, you get the final cut and all that, and it's a desk job, and the worst that you'll deal with is that the room gets too cold.
Right.
So I was pretty on board.
And it could be fun and creative and stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. And so I kept my goals to just be super vague in that I just want to make things I'd watch with people that I don't hate. And I look at me now.
Yeah, it's perfect. Where were you working? How'd they find you?
Oh, okay. So fresh out of college, I worked at this company called Weed Maps for a while. That was like a Yelp for marijuana dispensaries. That guy just went to UC Irvine and I talked my way into a job, ran their video department for like a year before I thought I was wasting my life. And I was like, I need to move to Los Angeles.
And you were a pot, or a weed.
This might come as a shock, but I've always been into marijuana.
Yeah. I don't see any evidence that it's affecting you negatively.
Super functional.
You know what I mean? Are you hiding during the day?
If I'm not working, absolutely.
But do you work and you don't use?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I, that's the thing, is that I don't really smoke before I do things that I enjoy.
So you're just like an evening.
Yeah.
And you, is there a particular type of weed?
The kind that knocks you out and tries to make you go to sleep. I kind of like the fighting sleep against kind. It. Yeah.
So that's the sativa. Is that?
It's the indica.
Indica.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I'm mostly about flavor. If it tastes good, I will smoke it.
Do you do edibles or just always smoking?
I used to, but when I worked at Weed Maps, I just thought there was no limit to it. Where it's like, oh yeah, you can have however much, and it's like you'll just be really high. And then I.
You overdosed.
Tried to, I think. What was it? There was just like a random thing, like a random pill bottle called THC pills. I was like, doesn't say how many not to take.
Popeye.
Yeah, so I took the whole thing and.
Whoa.
I just remember waking up in bed. And then when I came into work, I mean, I had to be driven because I didn't drive myself home. When I came into work, everyone was just like, hey, man, are you okay? I'm like, what the fuck happened yesterday? Apparently, I just threw up a lot and asked someone to drive me home.
Yeah, well.
Which is great because, you know, you could try to overdose on weed and that is what will happen. You will politely ask for someone to take you home.
Weed can make you hallucinate. Some people really get very vivid hallucinations.
Yeah, I've had that once or twice.
What kind?
Where my vision vibrated.
Ooh.
With music.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. It was pretty cool.
What else?
What do you mean, what else?
What other visuals?
Oh, I mean, that's as far. Like, I mean, it's hard to get there.
Yeah.
It's hard to get to a point where you hallucinate on weed.
And it makes you sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I use it primarily like to help me go to sleep.
Does it give you good sleep?
Yeah, I mean, no dreams for a very long time.
Thank you.
Because it cancels out.
You saw Joe and Bert talking about that, right?
Well, no.
Sober October, they were like, oh my God, I'm dreaming again.
Well, I mean, no, it's just I have just not had crazy dreams for since I've started smoking weed. So it's just.
You used to have crazy dreams.
No, I mean, I just have no dreams.
Right.
I
just, that's what most people describe.
They just, yeah.
And when they'll come back again when you stop smoking.
Yeah. And whenever like I do have dreams, I just think like, oh, I'm just smoking shitty weed. I should find better stuff.
What does that even mean anymore?
That is not.
Is there such a thing as shitty weed?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, just like working at Weed Maps, I like turned into a weed snob. Oh my God. I'm already talking about stuff I don't want to talk about.
That's right. But I'm curious about this.
Oh, shit. But yeah, so like Weed Maps was my first job, and I became kind of embarrassed to tell people that I did that because the only people that were watching it were like stoners.
Was it when it was that pot was made legal?
This was around 2010.
So before legalization.
Yeah, this was when it was still medical. And you know that company has such a good model because it's the second a state legalizes, boom, they have like a full state of clients that you know they could sell to.
What do you mean?
Like dispensary listings.
Yeah, but the medical model was a sham, right? It was ridiculous.
I mean, look, I'm not saying the reasons were a sham. I'm saying that fiscally it made sense.
It was the whole thing was a sham.
Yeah.
And what was it? What's his name? I can't remember his name right now. He said, yeah, I do have a problem. I have a weed deficiency. I need more weed. That's my medical problem.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
At least he's honest.
But yeah, I mean, after that, I think what it was that I saw my sister who's closest in age to me. She did like some class at Upright Citizens Brigade and I was like, oh fuck, she's able to take that class. And I'm stuck in Orange County working, making weed videos for people that I wouldn't want to talk to.
When you say stoners, what do you mean?
Like people are just like, oh, dude, this shit's so dank, dude. Fucking blaze it, 420. You know?
So people whose whole life is
right, like that's their personality. Yeah. I hate people like that.
Yeah.
Like you know, if you want to smoke it, and you know, if it works for you, it works for you. But if it's actually part of your personality, that's pretty cringy.
Yeah.
But yeah, after that, I just I decided like I'm gonna be making things that I'm not embarrassed to say that I work on. So I went right into Lifetime movies and I was doing the night shift over there and then just kind of like hopped from job to job. You know, every job that you hop, you end up getting slightly better at whatever.
At that network, you mean?
Right.
Yeah. At Lifetime and...
No. I fucked up that job.
Oh.
Like I found out, I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I work very efficiently in post-production and they were not happy with how quickly I was doing things.
Weird.
Yeah, so I just didn't get asked back to the next movie.
You think they'd love that?
Right. Yeah. Well, no, they didn't like it because they were paying for a day rate. So it didn't matter when I left. And when they saw it took me 3 hours to finish a night's worth of work, they were like, what's going on here?
Yeah, got it.
So after that, I switched over to mainly day gigs and just kind of worked my way to the top of whatever company I was at before, you know, either that gig ended or, you know, the company was bought out.
These are production companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So eventually I worked at this ad agency and they were bought up.
What were the production companies you worked at? Just curious.
So let's see. There was, I worked on some Epic Mealtime stuff once. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I worked at an ad agency that kind of did like main titles for television shows. Or at least that was the cool stuff that they did. And then their bread and butter was making content for AT&T that no one would watch. So I became one of the top like assistant editors there, as cool as that sounds, and we made like main titles for like I worked on the main title for Narcos, which was pretty cool.
That's cool.
If I was slightly browner, I would have totally been an officer in that main title.
Oh wow, how
like
crazy.
Just in front of a brick of cocaine.
How funny.
But there was an Indian guy on staff and so they gave it to him. But Harshit was great. And so what happened was AT&T merged with DirecTV and they had a team that did exactly what we did. So there were massive layoffs. And so that was, I want to say late 2015, maybe early 2016. And so I was just like starting to think of like, what can I possibly do? Like that was a full-time job, which is a unicorn in this industry, a full-time post-production job that doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
So I just started like brainstorming how I can make other full-time post-production jobs. So I just started hitting up all of the podcasts that I like that are just audio only that needed video. So I hit up Tom and Christina. Like that was a podcast I was really into at the time.
It's YMH.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mom's house. So I don't even remember who else I emailed. I just remember that Tom emailed me back within like 5 or 10 minutes.
Wow.
And then I met up with him for breakfast to pass his crazy test to like make sure I wasn't a deranged lunatic and passed it. Totally tricked him.
Pulled that one off.
Yeah. And then he invited me. That was back when they were still in Redondo. So I got invited back to do a recording with them, which I think was around episode 330, 331, something like that. We're on episode like 520 something at this point.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that I've been with them for like 200 episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I remember the first thing he asked me to isolate. I remember.
Were you doing post mostly at the beginning?
So what it was, was I remember the setup. It was a tiny room. Like it was.
Because when I first did the show, it was at their home.
Yeah. That was
is
like.
Is that what you're talking about?
That was like two or three studios after when I joined them.
Wow.
So they
you weren't there.
Well, they were back in Redondo. Well, right. Like there was all these different, like there were all these different phases of YMH.
Okay.
So the first phase they were in Redondo. They were in a tiny little office.
Yeah.
And I was over there and like, we didn't know anything about camera. Like I'm a post-production guy. So I don't know about cameras. I don't know about lights.
Right.
I just know like, just point everything in this direction and maybe it'll all work. So.
Funny you said the same thing today.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're really seeing the seams today, Drew.
Oh, it's so funny.
So. We got these shitty cameras. I think it was Tom that found them, but someone recommended them. There were like vlogging cameras. Vlogging was really popping off back in the day.
Right.
Now the thing with vlogging cameras is that they're not meant to be on for like 2 hours at a time.
Oh, wow.
So every 7 minutes I was sitting in between the two cameras and it was like every 7 minutes I had to look at my phone, reset
them
and just turn it off and make sure that this one was on while this one was off and like time it right. So for about like the first couple months, my only job was to make sure that those were off at alternate times
from the actual cameras.
Yeah. And then I would take it home and I would, you know, I'd edit it all together and, you know, do it like that. And then they just kept on adding more and more responsibilities and it's kind of blossomed into this.
And then when they were at their house, you were doing post then?
Right. So it shifted like from like where it was, you know, I was working with them full time, like right when I got laid off, we were trying to do something full time.
Yeah.
And then I just needed to kind of, I felt like I needed to stay relevant in the industry.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to take more work or else all this stuff is going to dry up for me. Yeah. So then we kind of switched back to part-time and, And, you know, I've just kind of been double gigging it where I just have two jobs for like a period of 3 or 4 years until they approach me to, you know, do
run
this studio
operation.
Thing. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for doing it. It's been great. It's been a privilege.
Yeah.
You didn't answer me what you did on the weekends, though.
I mean, hang out with friends, you know, smoke a lot of weed.
Are you dating?
Since I've been here, I've been dating not as much as I'd like to.
Is the weed cutting your...
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, weed's never been a problem in anything in my life. Okay. It's really a time thing. You know, it's just the more that I work here, the more I cherish my time.
Sure.
And on the weekends, I'm like, I just want to stay in bed. Yeah. I want to watch whatever the fuck I want to watch. I want to go eat myself into comatose. And then, you know, hang out with some people that I like.
Okay.
And, you know, I'll go out on some dates and... It's okay, you know. It's not anything to write home. But like, I just don't find the connection. You know,
it's a lot of people your age aren't in a hurry to couple up. I've noticed. What is that? My generation, and I would say, was in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it, like. I remember like hearing back in the day, it's like, oh, when I was 19, I was already married for 3 years.
Yeah, or there was that, but there was also like, well, I definitely had a girlfriend. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, and over here you just kind of keep it cash, you know. It's like you're dating someone. This thing,
do you think porn has taken the wind out of people's sails?
I feel like it's probably not helped, you know.
Yeah, I've wondered if it's something to do with that.
Yeah, because I mean, like, there are people that, you know, want to be in a relationship, and it's just like when they start dating me, they realize that I don't want to reciprocate that.
So you don't want to. We don't want anybody right now.
No, I mean, like, I'm open to it.
Well, that's not doing anything for that.
Well, that's the thing. What?
Because we could drop your testosterone levels and stuff.
Oh, it's very possible. I mean, yeah. I definitely smoke enough to that to be a case.
Hmm.
But I don't know. Like, I've never really like gone after it. Like, it's always been something where it's someone likes me.
Yeah.
And then I don't pick up on the signals, and we hang out, and then like, you know, almost every time that I've hooked up with someone for the first time, it's always been followed by, we've hung out for so long, why haven't you made a move yet? It's like, oh, okay. And then I go into it. I'm an idiot. I'm really stupid. I can't pick up on signals. I think everyone hates me.
You should start with that.
With what?
I think tell them that at the beginning.
What, that I'm like psychologically damaged?
No, I don't see that yet. But you don't pick up on signals, and you maybe, you know, sort of.
Yeah, I'm like somewhere on. Yeah, I'm deep-patient. I'm like somewhat of a TikTok. But probably on the spectrum.
But I don't think. No, I don't pick that up. But I also don't think you're unusual for your generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, there's a lot like me.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm sort of seeing. Like, no one's in a hurry to do.
Honestly, that is such a relief to hear.
Right?
That you think I'm normal, yeah.
Well, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I'd be careful.
Okay.
But as far as not being in a hurry and not, you know, being driven to find a partner and stuff, that seems to be normal right
like
now.
Like, I'm more career driven, and I do think it's strange that I'm not as relationship driven, and I'm actually trying to get into therapy to, you know, figure out what's going on with this.
Well, something's going on with your parents you've not clarified with me in the family.
Yeah. Sure. What's your question?
Well, what's
I'm not giving this shit away.
Were they abusive when you were growing up?
No. As a kid, my parents were great. My mom was super supportive. My dad was kind of absent. Like, he was off doing the workaholic thing, which I think is probably where I get it from.
Sure.
And then, I mean, they never really showed, like, I got shown a lot of affection. But I never really saw a lot of affection between them. Hmm. As I got older, they grew more and more distant.
So okay.
Yeah.
Thus, you don't have a lot of faith in marriage and long-term relationships.
I mean, probably.
You know, Christina
probably has something to do.
Christina and I were talking about that too, because we both had bad things we didn't admire in the relationship, the relationship between our parents.
Oh yeah.
And we're surprised how great marriage can be, both of us.
Yeah. So. I mean, hey, I'd love to join that club.
All right. Now let's get back to the show. Let's, you have a bunch of voicemails, right? And you have a game. I want to play this game.
Yeah.
What is this game?
So I was very worried that I wasn't going to be interesting enough.
You're fine. but I'm anxious to see this game.
Yeah, I was very worried I wasn't going to be interesting enough. So I wanted to have some stuff to fall back on.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people, when they're doing parties, they play pin the tail on the donkey.
A lot of people?
Some people.
Or when you were in grammar school, you did that?
I mean, we never did it. I just assume you guys did.
Okay, yes.
And so, You know, I'm kind of taking that and I'm applying it to something that is covered in the studio.
Okay.
So, you know, there's someone that we really like clips-wise. Yes. Who's your favorite person that you've seen in clips?
RCP.
RPC, yeah.
RPC, rather.
Robert Paul Champagne.
I want to go see him soon.
Yeah, I can't.
I really want to go do that.
Let me know. I will make sure you have everything you need, that a crew comes with you. Like, we'll make sure that everything's taken care of. Just say when you're going and we'll figure it out.
Maybe we should do it in, like, just for Thanksgiving.
Damn, you go to New York a lot.
Yeah,
huh?
I know.
Okay, all right, that's fine. That's fine. We'll figure it out.
All right, let's kind of aim towards that, because I feel like if we don't aim towards it, it'll never happen.
Okay.
I need to at least go visit him.
So,
yes, I need to go visit. I want to get him to Caroline's and do a live event with him.
Honest, okay.
That would be out of this world.
That's a mistake.
Why?
Don't do that.
Because he's not that interesting, or
no? It's just like once you take a wild variable like that and you take them out of their element, they become a bigger variable. Like, I know he's a sweetheart. Like, just everything about him seems very nice.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. I feel like putting him in front of a crowd full of people, it's like you're gonna get like a King Kong situation, you know. And God bless him. I love Robert Paul Champagne. You've been nothing but nice to us, and we've tried to be nothing but nice to you. But I see recipe for disaster.
Okay, all right, we'll go to his house. We'll do that.
And in all honesty, that's probably my favorite part about you being involved in this.
Is me in that environment.
Just how much you love to play with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you are a medical professional. And we're making you watch people swim in shit.
You're shaming me now.
No. Yes. I'm encouraging you.
Yes. Okay. Well, I am not
enabling you. What's a more positive spin on the
enable? Encouraging is good. Encouraging.
All right. Let's stick to encourage.
All right. So this pin the tail on the donkey.
Right. Okay. So, you know, last time Tom was here, we found a new video of Robert Paul Champagne.
Okay.
Coming.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm surprised he wasn't kicked off Instagram for that one.
He was kicked off YouTube.
Oh.
But I think he's back. Okay. I think he's back. So now, and I don't know if this is going to work, so we'll just edit this out if none of this lands.
Okay.
So we're going to combine Pin the Tail on the Donkey with Robert Paul Champagne coming.
Oh.
And we're going to play some audio clips of people in the midst of lovemaking, and you're going to decide if it's Robert Paul Champagne or just a random cool guy.
Okay, I'm
ready. Are you guys ready in the booth?
And it's just strictly audio?
Yeah, it's just strictly audio.
Okay, and what am I going to say, yes or no?
Yeah, you're either going to say, yes, it's Robert Paul Champagne.
Okay.
Or actually, here's the buzzer. Oh, shit, where the fuck are those popsicle sticks?
What? Popsicle sticks?
Are they around? Yeah. All right, yeah, can you bring them out?
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God.
So a fan, these are just two, though. Can you give me the, do you have the whole bundle back there?
Oh my God.
So this is just like for.
Oh my God.
So we have the best fans. I think you know that.
Clearly.
Every now and then I go to the PO box and I just pick up a whole bunch of shit. Oh. And this, someone sent a whole bunch of these popsicle sticks.
Okay.
With Robert Paul Champagne. Well, it's
the many faces of Robert Paul Champagne. Oh, this is too much.
Yeah, this is an amazing gift. And guys,
whoever did this, you're a genius.
Yeah. If you want to send us stuff, send it to Your Mom's House Podcast, 321 North Pass Avenue, number 44 in Burbank, California, 91505. And then, who knows, maybe you'll get onto a show with your gift.
Yeah.
So we're going to pin the orgasm on Robert Paul Champagne.
Did they freeze frame Instagram?
So if you turn them around, some of them will have his Instagram comments. So I think that's the caption to whatever the picture is.
But they froze it and then made a picture out of it?
Yeah, I mean, this one, he just says, genius. I think, cum dump written on his chest, which I guess doesn't need a caption.
No, it says it. It's so genius.
Yeah.
All right, now what am I doing with these?
Right, so you just give them to me. These are really just for inspiration for you.
I win them every time I get it right?
Sure, yeah, let's do that. Right. So... Okay.
Sure, we haven't shown them to the... Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be playing different people coming, and So if you think it's Robert Paul Champagne, you're going to say, I'll try it out. Yeah. And then if it's not Robert Paul Champagne, just be
I
like...
I will not try it out.
Yeah. Okay. That works. All right. Are we ready for the first one? All right.
Let's
roll it.
Yeah, I'm going to come. I'm going to come now. I'm coming.
I will try it out.
You will try it out.
Yes.
Okay, so you think that's Robert Paul Champagne?
Yes.
Could you make sure to keep a record of whatever this is so that we could go back? All right, thank you. Okay, so that first one you think was Robert Paul Champagne.
Give me, for the ones I do think is him, give me a stick.
Okay.
We'll do it that way. Okay, yeah. Yep.
All right.
Go ahead.
So that's for number one. All right. Play the next person coming.
We'll not try it out.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah, this might not land. Okay, so that was... okay, so you don't think that was Robert Paul.
I do not think so.
Okay. All right, so we're 1-1.
1-1.
Let's hear the next one.
I will not try it out.
You won't try it out?
No, I'm not trying
it out. So why don't you think, what gives away whether it is or is not Robert Paul Champagne? Oh yeah, and by the way, I just want to let
Paul
you know.
Robert Paul Champagne's voice is what gives it away.
So I also want to let you know that I've added layers into things, so they all sound similar. So there's like layers of Rachel Maddow talking in the background in some of these.
Oh,
there's just like random television stuff, because he always has the TV on.
Got it.
I'm just trying to make it all level playing
field. Got it. There was a quality of the voice towards the end there that was, to me, definitely not Robert Paul Champagne.
Okay.
If I haven't added that part in there, I'm not sure I would have gotten it.
Did it sound familiar to you?
It did.
Huh.
And I was thinking it was like one of the meth people. One of our, like, maybe four stroke or
good.
Somebody like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay.
All right. So we're one and two now. Okay. One try it out and two not try
two
it
not
out.
Two not try it.
Okay.
Out.
Let's hear the fourth one.
Oh, fuck. Ah! Oh!
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Tell me about it. What makes it tough?
Now, when you say Robert Paul Champagne, is it just that one video we recently saw that got him cut off YouTube, or is there a series of him engaged in said activity?
I'll answer your question with another question.
Okay.
Do you think there's only one video of Robert Paul Champagne coming?
I doubt it. But they must be a lot older. The one I heard he used to do that.
Honestly, man, like if we publicized every time he came, it's like we wouldn't have time to do anything else.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know he, because I would think it wouldn't.
It's a regular thing for him.
I thought they wouldn't tolerate that on YouTube. So
by the way, while we're on it, I mean, Christina was asking me on Where My Mom's At. What is a normal time? What is a normal amount for a person to jerk off?
Like how frequently?
Yeah.
Depends how old we're talking about. What age?
31.
Some 31-year-olds, it's every day, but
that's rare.
A couple times a week is
woof.
Is,
okay,
yeah.
All right, so. I got to work on that.
All right. So I would say I will try it out.
Okay. Wait. Okay. So this last one was try it out.
Yeah.
Can we hear it again?
Get off.
Nope. That was a different.
Oh, fuck! Ah. Oh.
All right. Oh no. That is that other guy.
No. You stuck to it.
I know who it is.
You stuck to it. Who is it?
It's the guy that did the tried on all those sex toys and things. It's that guy.
Fuck.
All right. So I got that guy.
You're good, okay. Drew.
I will not try that.
You could really tell these guys apart from coming. You could really tell.
It's scary. That's so scary.
It's insane I'm having this conversation with you.
Is there
this
more?
This is a dream come true. Of course there is, yeah.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and play the next one.
Get off.
See that? I will try it out.
You will try it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me kind of hear it again, because it might.
Yeah, let's hear it again, guys.
Get off.
No, you know what? Can I got to reconsider. I will not try it out.
Okay, you're not going to try it out.
No, I'll not try that one out.
Interesting. Okay, so what was the thing that made you backpedal?
It sounded almost like my meth guy earlier. There's something similar to that somehow.
So. Okay, are you guys keeping track of who he thinks is the meth guy? Great. Okay.
Was it you doing a faking
one? No, we'll get to it. All right, let's go. Let's go to the next one.
I hope that's not him. I will not try it out. But okay. You layered in a helicopter on that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of it's just Nat sound, you know. Sometimes
I will not
it's just
try it out.
Okay, so that's not try it
I
out.
I should have two, right? Because I did it twice.
Right, you did guess Robert Paul Champagne two times.
Yeah.
Ooh, so who do you want? Ooh, let's give you Leather Daddy Robert Paul Champagne.
Look at him.
There we go. Hold on, this one caught my eye.
Quite a fellow.
This one just says 191 likes. Robert Paul Champagne says, love it, wild. That's pretty cool. Okay, so how many have we done and how many do we have left?
Can't hear you.
Yeah, into the mic, unmute the button.
We've done six and we have four left.
Okay, all right. Let's hear the next one.
All right.
Man, this is a lot. This is a pretty cum-heavy episode, I'm sorry.
Oh, God!
So many of these guys, it's feel like they're being strangled at the same time as they're doing their thing. I would say.
I mean, how do you sound?
I hope I don't sound like that.
You've never sounded like that when you came? Never?
How do I know? I don't.
I think you do.
Okay. Maybe I did. So there I will not try it out. I will not try it out.
All right. You won't try it out.
No.
Okay. So you're. So, okay. So you,
just the two.
Just two are the Robert Paul Champagnes. Okay. Yeah. Let's hear the next one.
I will try it out.
Ooh, okay. Which one
sort of sounded like him?
Okay, so that's
the sunglasses.
The sunglasses. There you go. What's the comment on the back of that?
Robert Paul, I'm cool for you.
That's pretty fucking cool, dude.
Cool for you. What are like one more? Two more?
Yeah, let's
finish it up.
Yeah, let's finish it up. Let's do one more. On the fence with this one, huh?
Yeah. One more time. I will not try it.
Okay, you won't try it out. Okay.
One more.
Okay. All right. Yep. He wants to hear it, guys. Keep it rolling. Keep it coming.
Literally.
That's the last one, I think, right?
Yeah. See, I'm assuming these have spanned a period of time, so they could have been a long time ago that he was.
Yeah, that's something you got to factor in.
Yeah.
Is this him coming yesterday?
Is this him coming five years ago? Right. Is this young Robert Paul? One more time.
That sounds like a young Robert coming, if I may say so.
It does, and you're sort of persuading me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like imagine, you know, you at 20 years old, you could enunciate probably a little bit better. You could come a little bit more
articulately. I'm going to say, just because you're working on me so much, I'm not going to go. I will not try it out.
All right. Okay, all right, I guess let's run through the answers now, and we'll see how right you are.
I did three. I can't remember all the...
I think you're very close, because I think there is actually only three sound bites of Robert Paul Champagne coming in this. So you definitely have the right number. All right, so what was the first one, guys?
The first one was Robert Paul Champagne.
Let's hear that. I got that one. Do we have to?
Yeah. Okay. It's part of the game, Drew.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna come.
That's it.
I'm gonna come now. I'm coming.
That's his latest. Oh. That's his latest hit.
Yep. Yeah. That's his magnum opus. Okay. All right. What was the next one?
The second one was not Robert Paul Champagne.
All right. Let's hear that.
Fuck me in my ass, man.
Right. That's a classic drop.
Who is that?
That was. I believe the title of that clip is. homeless man raped by gay ghost.
Okay. All right. Keep going. Next one.
All right. What was the third one?
The third one was not Robert Paul Champagne.
All right. Let's hear that.
Oh, yeah. That was the guy I said sounded like Four Stroke.
Yeah. You said it sounded familiar.
Yeah.
And I think I know why.
Why?
I made that yesterday.
Oh!
No, I was not coming.
Okay.
No. I did not do that one organically. It was just, you know, I was doing this game and I was like, it'd be pretty fun to like throw a couple zingers.
You pretending?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was me pretending to come. Guys, I don't.
Yes, got it.
Guys, I don't come.
Yeah. I kind of thought you might have thrown something like that in there. So
yeah.
It occurred to me. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you. Okay. All right, what was the next one?
The fourth was not.
Was not Robert Paul Champagne.
Was that the one I said was?
What was this one? Go ahead and play it.
Oh, fuck.
I think I said it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
This was the one that you were on the fence
on.
Yeah. This was Cool Uncle Terry.
Oh.
Yeah, this you were right. You were like, I think this is the guy that's reviewing sex toys.
Oh, yeah.
Ding, 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 right on the head. Yes, you know exactly which pervert was coming in
there. That's right. I got my perverts straightened out in my head.
Good job, Drew. Nothing gets by you, and that's why you guys know that he's a medical professional.
You're bringing me to new lows.
Yep.
Are we going to go all the way through, or just tell me what I got right and wrong?
Sure. What number were we on right now? Yeah, I mean, actually, this cum game is lasting probably a little too long.
Can't hear you.
We were on number five.
You know what? Let's just say that you got all of them.
I did.
You did.
I got three for three.
I think, right, Josh? Josh, the intern? Mute button?
Yeah, you got them all.
Oh my God. Come on, give me a high five.
Congratulations, Ooh, Dr. Drew. RPC. You know exactly what RPC sounds like when he's coming.
And I also identified the sex toy guy.
Yeah.
Who no
You
one
know had, all of our cool guys.
No one had grossed me out more as a cool guy than that guy.
God damn. Drew, honestly, it is such a dream to work with you. The fact that you'd even be like, yeah, let's play this game where I try and identify people coming. I could assure you. I don't even think we'd have other comedians on this network that would do that.
So I'm thoroughly humiliated. you've taken me to places that evidently no one else will go. You're an evil, mad scientist.
Well, I mean, that all comes...
You're an evil genius.
That all comes with the territory in that you are literally the easiest person I've ever worked with.
So
ever. You say yes to everything. Nothing is on the table. It's just like, yeah, just tell me where you need me to stand and I'll do it.
And what's nice is your acting about being nervous was just to set me off guard so you could pull this all off and turn the tables and put me through these paces, right?
Nah, I got enough liquid courage in me now. Where I'm fully comfortable
fair
now.
Enough.
I'm probably a little too sweaty.
All right, should we hear some voice messages?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, we probably got to give him a
Hi,
little
Dr.
time.
Hi, Dr. Drew. My name is Ben. I'm a 22-year-old college student, and for the last couple of years, I found that I've had a little bit of trouble getting to climax when I'm having sex with women. Not on Josh Potter levels, but it's pretty much hit or miss. Sometimes it happens pretty regularly, and sometimes, you know, it'll take a long time or I'll have to finish the job myself.
Yeah.
Also, if I'm drinking alcohol, it becomes a much more difficult game to play.
Right.
Hmm. Recently, I started taking sertraline for depression and anxiety, and this problem has left the bedroom and come into my own personal life because now when I try and jerk off, it becomes an exhaustive task for me as well.
Okay, got it. I like the way sex with a woman is not a personal matter.
Right.
It's masturbation.
Jerking off is, that's my me time.
I've
had an issue one time where it was taking me too long to masturbate. You know what you do? You just tap out, dude. If it's not
tap
worth,
out,
yeah, it's not worth the trouble. It's just like
really double down.
If it's really gone for 20 or 25 minutes, it's just like, do I really need to do this?
Well, but it is not normal, uh-huh. right? And it's the sertraline doing it for sure. It's Zoloft sertraline, same thing.
So that's something that drug
typical
does.
Side effect.
Okay.
So he already has delayed ejaculation. He knows that. So it's kind of a thing for him. Any substance he uses, alcohol, weed, whatever, will make it worse for sure. He kind of, the way somebody like that needs to do it is find a stable partner that he kind of works it out with and that they
someone
have,
that's understanding.
And that the two together kind of figure out what they like, what they don't like, how long it's going to take, what they can do to get him to the right place and then finish things off.
Mm-hmm.
Sertraline is going to put a big problem in that and also drop his libido too many times. So, you know, you want to talk to your doctor about maybe changing medications if that bothers you.
Is that the best practice? Like, what's the best medication where that doesn't fuck up
the one
your,
that don't do that was typically was Cerazone, Wellbutrin, and Remeron. Those three don't do that typically or don't affect sexual functioning. So, again, if it's important to take the sertraline, you know, don't stop it. Talk to your doctor about whether you're making a change, perhaps.
Everything under medical advice.
Yes. This is not medical advice here. I'm not telling you what to do.
Right.
I'm telling you that. Your symptoms are caused.
No. I'm saying like don't change your medications without talking to your doctor. I'm not saying listen to what Dr. Drew says. I'm not saying that.
Exactly.
Listen to your doctor.
Next up.
Hey, Dad. I think my balls are a little bit too long. They touch the water all the time when I'm in the toilet, making brown, shit like that. I Googled some stuff on the internet and it said that like your balls can be too long because of like some sort of a condition, like the veins in your
Ehlers-Danlos.
Balls get
yeah,
swelled
long
up or they don't.
Yeah, Ehlers-Danlos, which is like a soft, is a.
I've had this problem before too.
It's not what he's got.
Go to a different toilet.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Some of them are shallow, you know, just find one that's less shallow.
Richard Pryor had a big joke about this.
Oh, he did?
Not about long balls, but about long penis. Two guys walking across the bridge and had to take a pee, seeing the water, and then one guy goes, oh man, the water's cold. They're on a bridge.
Oh.
And the other guy says, yeah, it's deep too.
Yeah. two big dicks. That's pretty, yeah, that's a great
Richard
joke.
Pryor joke.
Two big dicks.
Next voice message.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, mommies. Piss on me, beat me, hold me on out.
Yep.
I'm home here now.
You like the
and
show.
And I just wanted to say, I know I got two questions real quick because I know, hi, Dr. Drew, I'm Evan.
Evan.
And I know you go through this quick. So the first one, I have a cut where my tip of my dick connects to the shaft and it's been there for about a year and it gets recut every time I have sex.
Yeah.
And it bleeds quite a bit.
Yeah.
The most recent time it got cut was the worst and it was actually having a straight stream of blood, like, spewing, you know, in the movies when, like, one, like, little shot of, like, blood will, like spew out? That like, happens.
Yeah.
So how do I take care of that?
It wouldn't. It's not arterial, so it doesn't pulsate.
So it doesn't pulsate. Yeah. It doesn't look like a Tarantino type
thing. No. All right. Go see a urologist. I don't know if you're uncircumcised. I'm assuming you are. And that's sort of, remember our phimosis conversations we've had almost every week?
Yeah, it haunts my dreams.
Yes.
Yeah.
So those tears of the frenulum there at the base can lead to a phimosis if you're uncircumcised. And there are other ways to repair that and deal with it. So
if you're uncircumcised, the tears around the tip of the dick.
The tear is really, it's what's tacking down the foreskin. And so that tears and the foreskin narrows. And he may be talking something about, it's hard to, people don't know how to describe these things.
Right.
This can be something under the head of the penis that also might need a little something, the electrocautery or something to treat it.
Now, this is kind of creating a follow-up question for me. This guy is having sex with just open wounds on his dick. Mm. I've always heard people advise against that sort of thing.
Well, not only that, but wearing a condom would prevent the thing from being reopened or re-irritated, right?
Oh.
So, yes. I mean, yes, you don't want to have open wounds when you're having sex with somebody.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's been drilled into my head since childhood. Yes. Don't have open wounds on your dick when you're trying to have sex.
Next voice message. Right. See, Nadav knows.
Hi, Dr. Drew. For the past 2 years, I've had a reoccurring pain in my ass where every 6 months or so, a giant pimple will form at the tip of my ass crack, and it's right between my cheeks. It's like a week of hell until it ruptures or it goes away.
Oof.
Can I get rid of this problem, or am I just, like, fucked?
No.
I'm trying to keep it high and tight, but it hurts. Thanks
I bet. That's just, high and tight jeans will make that worse.
Yeah.
It's one of really three things. You can get something called a pilot, because I'm not sure where she's talking about it. There's something up.
Right, the crack of the ass has quite a bit of real estate.
Yeah, up at the top here, it's something called a pilonidal cyst, which is essentially, it's a genetic thing, but it's a abscess, essentially, that forms right at the top of the sacrum here.
Top of the sacrum is medical for crack?
It's top of the crack.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a pilonidal.
Just trying to make sure everyone's following.
Well, get us some pictures of pilonidal, pilonidal cysts. And they can be really intense, and they can be little.
Pilonidal cysts. Chris, get ready to blur this.
There it comes right up. Leave page.
No. Do it on a new page. All
right. Oh, there it is. See it? See where it is on, they're showing in the jeans, and they're, that was a better picture before. Go back to what you just had. See it on the right there? At the top of the crack? No, that's it.
God damn,
that's
on the right. Yeah, I see it. I see it.
So that's it. Now, if you go lower down, it can be just a plain old perianal abscess or a carbuncle. And a recurrent perianal abscesses can be a problem. Or it could be a fistula, or a rectal fistula. It could be a bigger problem of Crohn's or of inflammatory bowel disease. So it actually is something when you get it, you very important that you have a doctor look at it. Because the fact that it's recurrent kind of suggest it might be a fistula. Fistulas kind of come to the surface periodically.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's...
Oh, so a fistula is something that like...
Fistula is...
It's there for a while and it just sprouts up sometimes?
It's a burrowing, and the burrowing can come to the surface sometimes. Okay. Yes. You like our...
I do. I do like that gesture.
Next voice message. That's
this
a
is
one.
A fistula. Yeah. Man, this stuff is going to haunt my dreams.
Hey, Dr. Drew. My name's Alexis. Me and my boyfriend have been dating for about a year now. And he tells me that after we have sex, his eyes get dry after he orgasms, and he can't see until he sleeps again.
Till he sweats?
Oh, until he sleeps.
I literally Googled it, and I saw really nothing about it except for really extreme cases. But if it is a thing, I would really like to know.
Dial the voice message back again about 10 seconds, and I couldn't hear what she said. Let's hear it again. He wants to go to sleep to help him see.
She said his eyes are dry until he goes to sleep again.
Okay. Well.
So like until he wakes up in the morning, that's when his eyes are normal. That's when they reset.
All right. And keep going. Let me hear it again.
He's making it up. I literally Googled it and I saw really nothing about it except for really extreme cases. But if it is a thing, I would really like to know. Do men's eye? He tried to make it about a thing about proteins, and his eyes.
That is what?
That does not.
Lack of proteins? Okay. Something about proteins?
Anyways, is it a thing that when men come, sometimes their eyesight gets affected? Because I feel like no, but he hardcore believes yes. Thanks.
I would already say that he's not lying about it because it doesn't sound like he's getting anything out of it from her.
Right. That's an interesting way of thinking about it. I would agree with that. However,
does that mean I'm a bad person?
No. Okay. All right. People do get various kinds of vision changes sometimes after orgasm, but they're sort of blurry and wavy, that kind of stuff. Not dry eye is what I heard her say.
His eyes just get dry after he comes?
Right. And I don't know if...
You have dry eyes.
I do have dry eyes.
And they're dry before you come and after you come.
No association with that.
Okay.
But sleep, I can see where having your eye closed for a period of time can make it less dry. And so that makes sense to me.
Oh, but, okay. So that's what... So you're saying it has nothing to do with sex.
Well, it might have something to do. Maybe he keeps his eyes open, doesn't blink as much.
Yeah, maybe when he comes, he's just wide-eyed.
But here's what you do. Get some TheraTears. And give him some eye drops after sex, and that's the end of that.
Yeah.
TheraTears.
Nerd?
That's what you do.
Yeah, so. Fix it.
One more.
Hey, Dr. Jew. This is Austin and Michael.
Wow. Wow.
That's not his name. Anyways, we want to know where babies shit.
All right. Okay. So hold on. Babies... I prepped this voicemail, and I'll tell you why I prepped it.
Yeah.
One. These guys sent like three or four in a row and they just broke on all of them. Okay. Like none of them were usable. But I understand the question that they're asking, which I feel like is rudimentary to YMH. When a woman is pregnant,
yeah.
She has a baby.
Yeah.
She shits.
Yeah.
The baby shits?
Sometimes.
In the stomach?
Sometimes in the birth canal.
Sometimes?
And then it's called a meconium birth. And sometimes the babies aspirate the shit. And get pneumonias. It's actually, meconium is sort of an emergency. Not an emergency, but it's a complication. So it's called a meconium birth.
And you find that out the hard way, I'd imagine. That you
look up meconium. Show us meconium.
Show me meconium.
M-E-C-O. Meconium.
Ooh, and then I have a question as well after this.
Meconium. See the baby being born?
Yep. Oh, he's shitting all over.
Earliest stool of a mammalian infant. Unlike later feces, meconium is composed of materials ingested during the time the infant spends in the uterus. Intestinal epithelial cells, lanugo, mucus, blah, 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 blah. Amniotic fluid, bile, and water. So meconium is the, that's what it is. It's not really shit.
It's like, shit-like.
It's shit-like. It's other things that are going in the mouth that are the baby's floating in.
Right. It's just all just suspension fluid, you know?
Yeah.
He's just hanging out.
Yeah, yeah. And they take some of that in, and that's what comes out during the birth sometimes.
So babies do shit is what Dr. Drew is trying to say. It's just...
During birth.
Pre-birth. It's not technically shit.
Not technically shit. These guys are thinkers.
Speaking of shit.
Yeah.
So I'd like to circle this back. I made a revelation on your mom's house a couple months back that I've shit myself multiple times in the last 12 months. And since I have access to a doctor, I want to make sure that I'm not medically fucked.
Okay.
And I just want to see that, you know, no, you don't need to get any crazy like butt surgery. I know that you're a big proponent of like, that's a big surgery.
Oh, yeah, if you have rectal prolapse, that's a giant surgery. That's an immediate, like an emergency surgery many times.
Don't think of prolapse.
No, I don't think
of prolapse. I don't think of prolapse.
So
I don't put anything in there that's bigger than this.
So when does this occur?
It doesn't happen when I'm at full health. It doesn't happen when I'm at full health. I'll tell you the multiple times that it's happened over the last 12 months.
Good.
First time that I noticed it happening... was the first episode of Two Bears, One Cave. Around 19 minutes in, you'll notice that I'm losing my mind for the first like 15 to 18 minutes.
Laughing at me.
Right, laughing. Yeah. And then I'm just kind of quiet for 2 minutes. And it's because I'm trying to figure out if the other guys in the room could smell the shit that I've just shat.
Okay.
They couldn't.
And was it a shart? Was it like you were trying to fart?
It was a shart. I didn't seep through to the chair.
No, no, no. But was it in your mind? Were you about to fart and you shit yourself, or was
just laughing? It was a pressure thing. So it was like I was laughing so hard, and I'm like belly laughing.
Yeah.
And then I think after that, I was trying to calm down, and I coughed, and on the cough,
okay, got it. Okay,
it came out.
Got it.
Is that a problem? Do I need a
tell me the other episode?
Is that a surgery?
The other episode, no surgery yet.
The other episode was I think I was a week or two into transitioning into keto. I was riding scooters with my friend.
Were you taking any MCT oils?
I was smoking weed.
Yeah. I have a feeling that weed has something to do with relaxing the sphincter down there.
Well, actually, interesting. So I don't know if it's because it relaxed my sphincter or just because I have weak-ass lungs and I cough a lot when I smoke weed.
Interesting.
Because it did happen on a cough.
Or both.
Both of these happened on a cough. Whoa, I am making some revelations.
I think it's probably both. It makes sense to me. But keep going. Somebody your age should have control during cough.
Right. A 31-year-old should not be shitting his pants, is what you're saying.
No. But anything else?
So something is wrong.
again, it could be the weed just loosening the sphincter a little bit. And so maybe getting more bulk in your diet, like get some Metamucil and take a bunch of it and see if that.
I will say that I took the best shit of 2019 earlier this
Congratulations.
Morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And it's not, there's no leakage, right?
No.
And you're able.
Although, and I mean, I'm sure he will hate me saying this, but my brother does have a leakage problem.
Interesting.
And I did have diverticulitis like.
You're also young.
Five years ago. Jesus. That's exactly what my doctor said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had butthole problems for a minute. It kind of runs through my family.
Isn't really a butthole problem.
It's not?
It's a colon problem.
It's a diet problem, right? Or we don't know yet.
It's a genetic problem more than anything. And
my
and
dad did have it.
Yeah, and diet can help.
But not at 25 or whenever
crazy.
I had it.
You need a colonoscopy, it seems to me, generally. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I have a pretty good gastroenterologist. I mean, he made me do an IV rectal contrast. Which I didn't know what it was before I took it. That was a pretty eye-opening experience. I didn't know. I thought it was just like, oh yeah, we'll inject you with something. And like, I saw rectal on it. And I'm just like, that probably doesn't mean what I think it means. But then I went to get an examination and it's exactly what I thought it meant.
Interesting.
Yeah, the worst 3 moments of my life happened in like a 5-minute window.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And they had no pathology other than the diverticuli.
Yeah, like what ended up happening is they removed like 10 centimeters of my colon. Was it my colon or my rectum?
You had a big surgery?
Yeah. Dude, I was out of commission and sick for like 6 to 12 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because it took us a while to figure out what it was. Like for a while, I had a fever every 2 months or so. And then that fever happened every month. And then that fever happened every 2 weeks. And what that ended up happening was that, like, I was getting septic. So I had a pocket of food, I guess, that ruptured.
It's like an abscess.
Right.
Diverticular abscess.
Yeah. And every time that food got out, I
got
a fever to try and fight that infection.
Wow. So it was a wide open. And did they find it when they pulled out that piece of colon?
I was in the hospital. Like, I got admitted to the hospital via the emergency room because I had... What the thermometer said was 106-degree fever.
Oof.
Yeah, I was like super delirious, but they told me I was still funny, which is kind of important, I think, to me.
Wow, good for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations, maintaining your sense of humor through septicemia.
Yeah, I was afraid for my life. I honestly thought I was going to die.
Wow.
But they gave me some Dilaudid. That felt really great. That really eased the pain, but I don't think I needed it.
So was it the sigmoid colon they took a piece of?
That sounds right.
Yeah. And so there may be something related to that in this whole situation.
The most interesting thing about that is that after I had that whole surgery and everything, for a while, the way that you get that your body signals that you need to take a shit is just like, you know, you feel some inside stuff happening. You're like, I think I need to take a shit.
Right.
For me, right after the surgery, it just became uncomfortable to sit. When I needed to take a shit?
Right.
Is that a normal thing?
No. You normally get something called a mass movement that pushes it down into the ampulla. You're not getting that function anymore, probably because they took that piece out.
I mean, I'm back to normal now. I do want to say, I shit normal.
But everything's completely normal in terms of sensation?
I mean, for the most part, like there was stuff that I thought was normal back when I was in college that was clearly just early onsets of diverticulitis.
Wow.
I was taking 5 shits before I left for my morning class and I was just like, I like to drink coffee, you know, it just clears me out.
Wow.
It was just like no one else I talked to.
Yeah, I have diverticulitis too, by the way. I've had several episodes. Yeah, it's horrible.
So the thing that they've told me is that they're like, everyone gets diverticulitis.
No.
It's just most of the time they're old enough where like you don't need to operate on it.
It's common to have diverticuli. Uh-huh. It's also common for a subset of those to leak and cause diverticulitis, but usually it's...
So diverticulitis is when the infection takes
over. Diverticulitis is when the little leakage occurs.
Okay.
And usually your body kind of controls it right there where it leaks. But if you have a big leak, it develops into an abscess.
Okay.
And that's what happened to you.
Mm.
And that's not good. That's wild. And so anyway, so
you want to get in there, man.
You are permitted to have a little bit of rectal stool incontinence given what you've been through.
So I'm allowed to shit myself according to Dr. Drew.
You earned it.
I earned shitting myself.
With the crazy operation you've had. And I'd still recommend some Metamucil still.
With all that history. Yeah. I'll take some.
So this ended up being very, very interesting, by the way.
So I'm glad you thought so.
Not being interesting.
That's been my biggest fear, is that everyone's just like, this is a fucking snooze. This is a bore. Get this Jew out of here.
Nadav is interesting, everybody. We didn't even need the game, although I enjoyed the game. And I was humiliated by it, which everyone loves.
It probably lasted a little longer than it should have.
But I always know when we're in the right sweet spot when I'm feeling humiliated. That's the your mom's house spot.
You know, that really warms my heart.
I know. It's a target you aim to.
Whenever you put your hands in your face, I know.
I didn't put my hands in my face this time.
No, yes. I think you're getting more accustomed.
Well,
to
you know,
these
you
tricks.
Know what happened. No. You know what happened this time is that you're coyly and thoroughly dragged me all the way in without my awareness. So I was shaming myself without even realizing it.
Yeah,
so
surprise! I'm a little manipulative.
I didn't put my hands. So there it is. There it is, everybody. All right.
I hope everyone else liked it.
Let's wrap this thing up.
Sure.
Thank you for letting me discuss you. Thank you for all you do here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Seriously, and I was just thinking to myself, my God, by the age of 31 now?
Yeah.
Big operation. How many different jobs and you've had? And
it's an interesting life.
I mean, crazy, right?
Yeah. It's like I think I'm boring, and then sometimes I think of that stuff. I'm like, well, sure, on paper, I guess that's
19 different production companies and different posts, and I was trained in watercolors and it's like,
yeah, I'm just some Joe Schmo just
so
showing you cum videos and cum
so
sounds.
Interesting. Well, there's that too. You're a manipulative dude. We found that out. So I had no doubt your skill set given what I see you do here. So
thank you. So that means a lot. You know, if it seems like I know what I'm doing, then I have manipulated
and,
you.
And you make it look easy at the same time, which is really, but I know there's a lot going on here.
So I have nonstop anxiety. Yeah.
I appreciate it. So we'll wrap it up with that. Check out drdrew.tv. Check out drdrew.com. Drdrew.tv, where you can sign up to be part of this live broadcast we do on the weekends, and .com. We've got me and Corolla, and all my other stuff is listed at .com. So please check it out. Get on our email list, /contact, drdrew.com/contact. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.